Welcome to Social Workers Break Room. This is Imelda.
And I'm Jennifer. And today we bring you
Global Social Work, the cultures and roles of social workers around the world. It's a very special episode because we have a couple milestones to celebrate.
Woo! So stay with us.
Today, we have our very first sponsor, Acceso Capital, who is sponsoring our recording space at Cahoots in downtown Phoenix. So shout out to David Carrizosa, who is a partner and founding member of Acceso Capital. If you're a business owner or future business owner or a future podcast owner, they can provide you with resources for starting and growing your business. Learn more at accesocapital.com. And if you would like to sponsor one of our episodes and get your business in front of thousands of listeners, let us know. Send us an email at info@socialworkersbreakroom.com or on Instagram at socialworkersbreakroom. We are also very, very excited today because we have our very first guest in our episode, Stacy Moreno. Woo-hoo! Welcome, welcome. Stacy Moreno is a fellow social worker and also a dear friend of Jennifer and I. I met Stacy, how long has it been?
2008 or
9?
2010?
That long? Oh my God. No. Yeah, like at least 10 years, I think. Yeah. So Stacy and I met on the field when we were both working at a community behavioral health agency, and we were both working on the same case. You were the therapist and I was the case manager.
2011.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was my first job right out of college, probably one of my first cases doing case management. And Stacy was the therapist for the case, and we just connected and we've been friends since then. And
how can you not connect with you?
Aww. Yeah. Hearts. And then we just stayed friends, and we've been partnering up in different things, different projects we have done. You were my field instructor at some point, remember?
You're me.
Am I MSW?
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I remember. And I have gone through a few of the trips, the international global social work trips that Stacy has put together. We'll talk more about that in a minute. But yeah, we're very excited to have you. And just to give you more background of how amazing Stacy is, Stacy Moreno has her master's in social work, and she's a residential faculty and social work, school social worker for Paradise Valley Community College, connecting with students through resources to meet their everyday and emergent needs. Stacy views her role in the world as a collaborator, connector, networker, and community advocate. Stacy is also an adjunct in BSW and MSW programs at ASU and Monmouth University Schools of Social Work. Stacy is graduating in May 2022, very soon, with a second master's in human rights practice from the University of Arizona. That's amazing. In addition to social work, education, and engagement, Stacy also creates and leads global exchange programs like the one that I got to go to. The Global Learning Programs Abroad has been running since 2015, taking over 150 students and professionals to Europe, Eurasia, and Central America to connect with local professionals and on relevant topics such as human rights, welfare, social welfare, and more, urging participants to become leaders and advocates for positive social change. Stacy also brings in social workers and other civil society leaders to Arizona from around the globe, which I have also been able to connect with some of them, some of the cohorts that you have brought, with the goal of building bridges and enhancing awareness through professional training programs.
But wait, there's more. Stacy has worked across many areas of social work and with many populations, including school settings, hospital and public health, child protection, individual and family therapy, grant writing, program development, social work and higher education, with children, with disabilities and their families, non-residents, and more. For all of this, which is well-deserved, Stacy was awarded by her peers as the NASW Arizona Chapter Social Worker of the Year in 2017, as well as Faculty of the Year in her department at both Gateway Community College in 2018 and Grand Canyon University in 2018. Stacy's also on the advisory board for ASU's Office of Global Social Work. And if that wasn't enough, folks, she's here with us today. She is now a podcast guest extraordinaire.
Thank you. And it's a first for you and for me, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Imelda and I have some questions for you today as we asked people on our social media what they wanted to know about global social work, and they had some great questions. So, we'll start off with some more general ones so we can get grounded into the topic, and then we'll move into some of those more specifics. So, first off, we'd love to know a little bit about how you personally got involved in global social work.
Thank you so much. It's always overwhelming to hear a few minutes of your own, I guess, just experience. But thank you for bringing me down memory lane. And I'll actually take it back even further to answer your question. So global social work, I think my interest in getting involved originated from being a student. And I think I would say just having the personality of being really interested in people and people's stories, right? And we look at social work and what a huge part of that is just understanding people's stories and listening and connecting to people. And when I can look back now, I can see all of those similarities into just culture and the world and what's happening around the world and, you know, human rights issues before I was even interested in human rights issues and making a difference. And so what I realized when I was in school is that, like, I guess it all started coming together. And I had amazing faculty that were from around the world, right? They were from around the world. They lived around the world. They did research around the world. And they just seemed like the most amazing people. And I was realizing that I wanted to be like them. And I wanted to understand the world like they did. And I actually didn't feel that there was like a gateway to doing that when I was a student. And so the seed was kind of embedded really early that social work is global, right? Yeah. Social work is a profession and it's not just a United States thing. And I wanted to understand social work in a global perspective and some of the more humanitarian issues. And I didn't know how. And I think that idea of not knowing how to open that door is what stuck with me and eventually what kind of led me into doing what I'm doing. So, yeah.
So as you were talking about global social work and connecting with the profession in different countries and learning of how they operate and, you know, how social work looks like in different countries, from my experience and going with you to some of the different locations, we have noticed that the roles of social workers are different from what it is in the U.S. and other parts of the world. So can you tell us a little bit of how social workers are different in other parts of the world? Like, what is the main difference between that you see from the U.S. to different countries, or what are the different levels of social work in other countries? Like, do they also have the macro, micro, clinical, or not clinical? Mm-hmm. What have you seen?
Yeah, and if it's okay, I'll actually take it back a step, and then I'll come to that. In my master's degree, I really pushed to do something global. Like, I pushed to do an internship and to get abroad, and it was quite difficult. And later on, I actually had an opportunity to, like, preceding. I guess it's important because it helped give me knowledge and which led me to do what I'm doing now with a lot of the exchanges. But I found an opportunity abroad. And I actually was a child protection worker in England for a year or just under a year. And I had moved with my family. And so that was like a full immersion experience. And what really solidified for me, and I think was the best opportunity to do this comparative learning of like, what is social work like abroad, more so than just reading articles. And even more in depth than some of the programs because of just the nature of being immersive, right? Mm-hmm. The more immersive you are and the longer you are, I think you can really break down your understanding of things. And so my year in England really taught me a lot, although I think it also was just the tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And it helped open the door for a lot of the other work that I now do, which is more of the short-term kind of immersive programming or going and coming. Mm-hmm. And I think what I notice is in more, I guess, global north countries, there's a lot of similarities to social work in what we're familiar with into some global north countries, right? There's a lot of the same, you know, legalities or different ways that we practice social work, let's say in a clinical setting. But what I notice the biggest differences is we are super clinical in the United States and moving more so into a very super like hyperclinical mm-hmm. realm. And that is quite different from my own personal experiences of what I've noticed in other places that I maybe read into or have visited, where the community level work is so much more predominant than the clinical level therapeutic type work. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist, but the social work realm really is centered in community work. Mm-hmm. And I find that extremely interesting.
More than, you say, a more community work as compared to a mental health professionals as it is here. I feel like in the U.S. we're very heavy, our profession is very heavy on training mental health professionals, you know, getting licenses and even, you know, opening their private practices and whatnot. And from what you're saying, it sounds like in other countries, it's more of that community approach to advocacy, to community building and development.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, you know, that seems like the predominant one. And you've been quite a few places. I know you spent a considerable amount of time in England, which is fabulous. But you've been all over. So what's so far kind of the favorite place that you've traveled where you've been able to have kind of this either immersive or kind of an experience through a social work lens?
Yeah. And I've been thinking long and hard about that answer. I was dreading this question because I don't know. But so let's walk through why I like certain places, right? Or maybe my own personal experiences and what it's meant to me. They've all been fantastic in different ways and for different reasons. And I love experiencing programs with people. Mm-hmm. So I think if I were to go by myself, it probably would have been like a bummer. But being with people and having a backseat of watching, like, for example, when you came with me, right, watching you interact with the professionals and you have questions and how you perceived your environment to me was what made things exciting and not just like, look, I'm at a cool place, but it was really just that whole learning experience and watching it through other people's and facilitating that. Nicaragua was amazing. And I think on a personal note, because I was able to bring my family that time and we were living with host families. And so I saw things in a different perspective. And so that was really interesting. And that was meaningful because it's led to future programs and opportunities with the Nicaraguan people that are in exile, which I would not have had, you know, maybe interest in what's happening in Nicaragua if I hadn't gone prior to the uprising in 2018. So that's really opened my eyes to socio-political issues, which I wasn't really, you know, too interested in until I had that personal connection. Kosovo was absolutely amazing. And I think it was because we hosted the people first. And that was the first time we did like a reverse exchange. And so that was awesome because the people in Kosovo were just amazing. And we really connected with them. They came here on a trafficking in persons theme. And so they reverse host us a year later. And we were even able to meet with the ex-president of the, and that was just the most amazing opportunity. And to really explore the genocide and things from different perspectives, which was it touches your soul in a way that you can't explain. Scandinavia was amazing. And I think because you look at these different ways of collective society and really looking at what's better for society versus like this individualistic perspective. Mm-hmm. So touring a prison and touring school systems. And I think that was just something that stayed with me for a long time as far as that you know, what's better for the collective good versus what's better for me.
The individual. Yeah. I got the chance to go with you to Scandinavia. It was probably one of the best trips I've done because it was so eye-opening. I remember having conversations with people, telling them about, you know, the prison system and education system and people saying, oh, you know, I wonder when the U.S. will be like that eventually. I feel like, and I remember thinking, I don't know if it will ever be like that because our collective thinking is very different. You know, just talking to the community there. I remember we met with a mom who was on maternity leave, and what she said, like our view of supporting each other as a community is very different than other countries. Like we don't mind paying extra taxes or doing extra stuff to ensure that everyone has access to these things. And I don't think, you know, that's the case in the U.S. As a larger, you know, country. So, yeah, I think it's some of the differences are very eye-opening, mm-hmm. I will say. Like, yeah. Very eye-opening to see how not only the social work field, but how just the population in general sees community in different countries.
Yeah. So that it's stuck with me, right? Mm-hmm. And so and not just me. So thank you for sharing what you collect from it. But, you know, Ireland is always a bunch of fun. And it's been great to really, again, dig into the history of the society and the issues that a community has had and how that's led it to either develop certain programs to address those issues. And it also just makes me realize how important history is mm-hmm. and how important, like, our community and what we've been through and how that helps us evolve. And, you know, then looking at maybe the bills and policies we have today or the programming we have today and how that's influenced by our own personal, you know, history experiences. And the topic of xenophobia has been very interesting. So when we're able to really talk about xenophobia or maybe even now the fall of democracy and, you know, what does that look like and how social workers are in our and what the work we do is caught up in, you know, abroad and some of the movements now as far as silencing people and, you know, not wanting the good work that we do to be done in the name of just current social political issues.
Yeah, I'm curious. You know, it's one of the things that I've been reflecting on about my own education. And, you know, all three of us have the privilege of teaching the next generation of social workers. And I feel like we have a very low emphasis on understanding truly like the history of social welfare in the United States in our education system. Is it the same when they educate social workers in other countries? Or do you feel like social workers in other places or, you know, social service workers have a deeper understanding of how they came to be the humans that they are and the programs that they're able to use to serve their community?
That's a great question. I don't know. I think that could be a really good research project. So anyone out there who's looking for something to do for class, maybe this can ping you as an idea. What I've noticed, okay, so when I was in England, I was so impressed at how well the social workers in the child protection units knew their law. Mm. Like they knew their law and I was embarrassed thinking, wow, I don't think that I would be, if I were in this position back home, as familiar with all of the statutes and what's happening and the protocol. And I felt so confident moving into, especially, you know, a new realm of social work at that time in another country if I didn't have the support that I had in the office with these people who really knew the law, you know, and the history and what they do. And I feel like just from my own perspective, whomever we've had the luxury of talking to when we go abroad or when we bring people here, their knowledge is, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing what they know and what they do. And I think it's important for us to get outside of our bubble and to stop thinking that we know it all here and like, you know, that we're the center because social work didn't start with us.
Right.
And, you know, and yes, we have great practices, but that doesn't mean we're it, right? Or we know it all. And so I think the benefit of really having these dialogues with others is there's just a wealth of knowledge and information out there and great experiences, great work being done that we can really learn from people. And I think that a lot do know their history. I think they take it seriously. I'm sure there's some that may not, but I found those I interact with have a wealth of knowledge about the profession. Yeah. And so it's really exciting to talk to people who have that knowledge.
And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned many of the places that you've been. I'm curious, you know, of all the globe over that you've traveled, what's kind of the coolest job you've come across where you're like, ooh, I've never heard of that. Or like, that's a really neat way of working with community. Or like, I want to do that. Or maybe I don't want to do that. But somebody who's fabulous should totally be doing that.
There's been a lot of really fabulous things and things. But I think what always strikes me is when you find these programs, and we have it here too, that work with the population that they're addressing, and it's not top down. For example, I went on a fellowship for 3 weeks, I think it was 3 weeks, in the Netherlands. And this is for social work professionals through a network that I'm already a part of, the Council of International Fellowship. And so I'm part of the hosting side for the U.S., but I went to the Netherlands and I toured a homeless shelter that was organized by the individuals that were homeless. Mm. And they went to the city and said to the city of Amsterdam, we have good ideas. Your ideas are basically not good. And you're not meeting our needs. We know what our own needs are. And we know how to fix it. Will you help us? And the city said, okay, let's try a pilot. And I think it was based off of some U.S. models, I think in the Midwest. And it's successful. And 100% of the individuals. So when we go there, we visited, and I've had I've had students talk with them from the classroom, like remotely online. And it's just interesting because it really is when you give the power to the people that we're meant to help, and you listen to their ideas, and they run the shelter with minimal oversight. There is oversight, but it's again, a social worker's there, but if the social worker's needed, they will say, I want your help. It's not the social worker saying, this is the rules you have to follow. It really is 100% managed and operated by the individuals that live there. And it works. Mm-hmm. And we tend to think we know what works, right? And so I've seen it again in Ireland. They had a program where it was, again, coincidentally, a homeless shelter. And they realize we live in a community that has this beautiful history here. Why don't we help teach you how do you present that to a group? How do you tour a group? How do you present yourself or speak to a group of people when we're and so the money that we paid to do this tour, this walking tour of the city, it was all run by them and the money went to them. And it was so good that they all left the new job that they found because they found employment and they found housing. Yes. And so, they kind of worked themselves into a pickle where they have this great idea and now they need to keep training people. But how empowering is it to give someone skills and to and supporting them and learning these skills and in achieving success for themselves. So I think anytime that I've seen programs that really work with the community, with individuals with disabilities, running their own restaurant. Mm-hmm. All of those have always impressed me more than just your traditional kind of government-run program.
Preach that.
Yeah. And so as you're talking about the differences of social work in other countries in the U.S., if someone who is listening or someone who is interested in eventually going to another country and be a successful social worker with a degree from the United States, how do you think they can do that? And if someone with a degree from the United States in social work, how can they successfully go to another country and immerse themselves? Or do they need to have a license? Do they, what are the different levels that they can practice? I know we have here very specific jobs for people with BSWs and MSWs and LMSWs, etc. From what you have seen, what do you think it will be your advice or your tip if someone wants to go abroad and work as a social worker?
Yeah. And so this one I'm still... I think over time I'll continue to refine how I view this kind of question, because I know people want to go abroad and they want to live and be a social worker, and I did too. And I feel like there are real limitations to talk about, right? You have to speak the language. If you're going to live somewhere and be a social worker, think about what that means. You're working with people who have needs, right? Or a community in some way. So you need to really understand that local community and speak a language, or it's just not possible. You can't go somewhere and then expect that your community has to adapt to you. That really is, this voluntourism kind of approach to things. And so we have to understand that's not how it works. So you are limited, if that's one perspective, to where you can fully achieve your idea of practicing social work in a community and being meaningful with a job. And of course, we're not talking about visas and how difficult it could be. There are some countries that have, of course, you know, illnesses aside and everything, that there is an opportunity to get a social work, a license to be able to, a visa. Licensure, interestingly enough, again, it's a U.S. thing. Yeah. We are, again, really putting things in a pigeon where you have to have a license. Abroad in England, I only needed the bachelor's degree in social work to be considered a qualified social worker. Mm. The master's, of course, was a bonus. It helped me with income a little bit more. And I think also with maybe if I stayed, more opportunities. But the bachelor's of social work was fine. Mm-hmm. And I think like New Zealand, Australia, again, with a bachelor's of social work or master's, of course, you don't need a license. I think that is still opportunities that are viable, yeah, right, to go into. And child protection is really going to be where you start. Once you're there, are there opportunities to move above and beyond that? I think that's possible. Looking into teaching, right? Mm-hmm. I've also found that what's difficult is without the PhD, I've realized that's made it a little bit difficult in some universities. But is it impossible to go elsewhere? No. Other universities, I'm noticing there are beginning to have some English language programming as they're marketing international students to their campuses. So I think that there are possibilities, but that PhD does begin to open more doors if you're looking at the higher education realm. But that doesn't mean you can't do social work-like functions without maybe the title social worker, but you're still doing community work and humanitarian work and other things. And there are opportunities to look at short-term programs, I think, that can take you abroad and do that. But again, I would say if you're committed to a certain area of the world or certain region, anything you can do to really gain those language skills would help.
And as we're thinking about these jobs, what have you noticed about, you know, there's lots of different ways to value someone, but a very important way is financially. And in the U.S., we don't do a good job of valuing our social workers financially, salary-wise. What have you noticed about the salaries for people who do social work and community work abroad? Is it they much higher, much lower, you know, much better benefits? What do those look like?
It's a great question. So again, I don't know all of the salary details across the world, but what I've felt and noticed in just my own experiences, again, not comparing like their salary to a U.S. salary, but let's just say I'm in a country and I'm looking at just the social workers' quality of life compared to others in their own communities, right? Mm-hmm. What I notice in general is that salaries are not as stratified as they are here, mm-hmm, right? And so a social worker, like in England, for example, nursing and social work, they're very similar earnings, right? It wasn't as drastic of a difference, let's say. And so the earnings of a social worker, although they could be modest, it wasn't you know, super low. It was just, you know, a modest but agreeable salary. And in other countries as well, people are, and it could just be the quality of life where they live. And
the cost of living
as well. Yeah. I'm not saying people don't struggle in their own ways like we may struggle here, but they still take vacations, right? And they're still affording simple just lifestyles and they're doing okay. So I think the biggest difference I notice is just the quality of life in one's location and just the stratification of wealth is more here versus in some other locations.
So in your years as global social work advocate and practitioner, what would you say is one of the main things you have learned? You have shared a lot of very, very good knowledge from your experience as, you know, as a visitor, as a professional, as a leader, taking students, and all together, you working there, traveling there, leading students there, collaborating with professionals. What would you say is one of the main things that you have learned from, you know, from the years of?
Is get outside your box. Mm-hmm. Yeah, get outside your bubble. And there is so much more. Like, I feel like a better person just knowing about how social work is other places and how they tackle their issues, you know, how they're addressing postpartum depression and like, what can we learn in maternity leave? And just looking at the world from a different lens has made me more open-minded. And I think just realizing, again, building bridges, like, I'm, wow, who would have thought I have so many similarities with these people from across the world who have maybe grown up in under communism, let's mm-hmm. say. But being able to recognize the similarities or how we're fighting for the same equalities in different ways, possibly, and sharing things with other people has just been... It's been a gift to be able to share and to receive information from others and not always have to tell. But when you're going places, a lot of times you're learning. You're not going to share your knowledge. You're going to kind of receive knowledge and to bring it back and make sense of it. And it's helped open my world up a lot. And so I would tell people, don't limit yourself, even if you can't travel, because it can be hard to travel. Yeah. But there's other ways that you can still live a global life right where you are and to open your eyes up to the world around you. And I think it makes you a better practitioner. It makes you a better social worker. It makes you a better leader. In your programs, when you're able to really look at the world in a bigger lens and not through a silo.
You mentioned something very, very important there. You said being open to learning instead of teaching. Like, I think sometimes when we meet other people, and it's not just international, but just people in general, sometimes we already come with our own agenda, what we want to share, what we want to let them know how, you know, these things work. But it very, very good advice of being open to learning from them instead of us telling people what we think it's best for them or how we think we do things in a different way that it's, you know, quote unquote, better. Yeah. As you know, so being open to learning, very important.
Yeah. And I feel I need it on a sticker on a water bottle or something to live a global lifestyle wherever you are.
Yeah.
What's one thing, if you're going to have people who are listening to this, maybe take one step towards living that global lifestyle? What are a couple things that if you're going to send them out to go do, here I am smart goaling people, what would they kind of do next to maybe get into that a little bit? Or where would they turn kind of to resources to find quality information?
One thing you could do, if there is an area of the world you're interested in, even just getting to know, like just take the opportunity and learn about it. Like go, Human Rights Watch has an annual report, right, where we pull apart the different human rights abuses going on in the world. Pick one country and just start with that. Get to know that country a little bit and explore and then just dig in, you know, maybe watch some films that are documentaries that are on those topics or about that country and just get to be a mini subject expert in one area. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do a whole bunch of things, but just start with something that's possible.
What if people want to be involved in international opportunities and trips like the ones that you lead?
We've been on.
Yeah, like the ones we've been on. And because selfishly, I want to know more when the next one is so I can go.
Stacey, this time.
No, that would be awesome. So, I mean, I am happy to keep people up to date. Of course, we've been in a little bit of hibernation with COVID, but the hope is that's not going to go on forever, right? Yeah. That we're going to come out of hibernation and do some programming. So if people are interested, I'm happy to keep them up to date. I have an email that people can reach out to,
for example. Where can they reach you?
Okay, so Stacy, STACY, at CIPUSA.org. So if you're looking to go abroad with us, but we do host people, and it looks like we're going to have a group from Armenia come in September again. You know, it's been postponed twice. So at this point, we're hoping it's going to go through. And so locally, we would love to have people help us with that. Okay. But if you are abroad and wanting to come and do a mini program again for a few weeks with us in our community or maybe one of our affiliate offices around the U.S., the Council of International Programs, so CIPUSA.org, is a great starting point to let people know you're interested. Again, you'd have to be a professional. Mm-hmm. It's not to come and study, but although we do embed people in classrooms as a way to, whether they want to be a guest lecturer, whether they want to sit in on some topics that are of interest, have internships, as well as tour organizations and learn about, you know, comparative learning to the work they do back home. Again, again, we don't know when we're starting that back up again, but it doesn't mean you can't reach out and let us know you're interested.
And we have quite a bit of listeners from the West Coast and the East Coast. So even though we are based out of Arizona, we have listeners from all over the country and from other countries as well. Yeah. So can people who are not based in Arizona participate in the program?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And I even say, if you're not from Arizona, let's say you're a student in the East Coast, mm-hmm. and you're looking to do an internship opportunity, you know, even within the continental U.S., going to another community is a little bit of an immersion experience. Mm-hmm. So we're happy to work with students from other parts of the United States who want to be immersed in our community and also have that opportunity. We've worked with universities before, so I have helped universities build short-term, like, spring break projects. But honestly, CIP is an amazing nonprofit, and by doing our programming out of CIP, it's been super cost effective. And I think that was what was important. A lot of programs out there are a business model, and they're not run by social work for social work. They're just study abroad agencies running a business model. And so we would love to have some type of collaboration with anyone around, I guess, the continent as well as the world. So absolutely, it would be great to have. And if people have questions, again, I don't know everything about getting work everywhere, but we love collaborating. We love collaborating in the classroom. We love collaborating in the profession. So if there's people out there who want to connect, I would love to.
So as always, all the resources that Stacey just mentioned are going to be linked on our website and our Instagram page at socialworkersbreakroom.com or socialworkersbreakroom on Instagram.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Stacey, and for being the very first guest of our podcast and seeing you again.
Yes. Yeah, lucky us.
Lucky me. Thank you so much.
We will see you next time.
Bye.